Welcome to Food is Not a Four-Letter Word, the podcast where you ditch the diet drama, banish body shame, and reclaim your life, all while creating a body you love. When it comes to body drama, your host, Carmela Ramalia, has been there, done that, has the t-shirt, and wrote the books. And now, here's Carmela.
Hello, hello, my friends. It's me, Carmela, from Happy Calories Don't Count, back with episode number 18 of the Food is Not a Four-Letter Word podcast. And without any further ado, let's take our three deep breaths, shall we? Let's go. Take a deep breath in. Let it out. And again, deep breath in. And exhale. And one more time, deep breath in. Thank you so much for doing that with me. For those of you who are new, I do the three deep breaths at the beginning of every episode to model for you how simple and easy it is for you to take a beat, take a breath, drop into your body, and in that split second, you have just created personal empowerment. You have given yourself the space and grace to come back to your center and then deal with whatever's going on with you in the moment from a place of purpose rather than from a place of reaction. And I also do it so that I ground myself before I start these episodes, because those of you who know me and love me well know that I am Italian. I am passionate about my favorite topics, including this topic, and I am an actress, and I, especially with today's episode, I am likely to go full Carmela on you. I have a lot to say about this particular issue. And so I need to ground myself so that I play nice and that I don't go full Carmela on you. And I also need to remind everyone that when I do get snarky, and I might, when I get snarky and call you out on your BS and get into my character voices and all of that stuff, I am never disparaging you and I am never disparaging your pain. The snark is never, ever, ever about you. I know in the depths of my bones how deeply painful and soul-sucking all of this weight and body drama can be, all the food, the exercise, all of that craziness. It was literally life-threatening for me on more than one occasion. I get it. So when I get snarky, what I'm doing is I am calling out the mindsets and the attitudes and all the crap that keep you stuck. That's the stuff I have umbrage with, and that's the stuff that I'm snarky about. So if you hear me start to get all riled up and like go full Carmela, it's never about you and your pain. It is always about the things that are keeping you stuck in your pain. And then I also need to mention in this particular podcast, I am going to say a four-letter word. So if you have delicate ears, beware. I am saying a four-letter word because I am actually going to quote a meme that I saw on social media. And that's what inspired this entire episode. It's this whole body image, body positivity, the eating disorder recovery stuff that's out there in social media that hides behind tropes and hides behind memes because it does not have the depth of understanding. The people, I believe that people genuinely have good hearts and good intentions, but what's happening is because they do not really understand it themselves, they don't have the way to actually create freedom. They don't really understand what's going on a deep core level. Or if they do, they've been unable to articulate it and create that healing and transformation. So what happens is everything gets up-leveled into these sound bites and these rally cries and with this idea that if you just give lip service to this concept, suddenly you're going to be able to embody it and create transformation. And it's just all over social media, and it really annoys me. And so that's what inspired this particular podcast. I've alluded to it before in other episodes. I think episode 5 or 6, I did a whole thing on eating disorders and I did go full Carmela on you. I also did another entire podcast on the body image movements and how they fall short. And so this is another take on that same idea, specifically based on something that I saw on social media. So, you know, last week was Thanksgiving, and Thanksgiving is a food holiday. And, you know, here in the United States, it's a food holiday. People are all about, you know, the Thanksgiving turkey and the feast, and you know, we're giving thanks. And Christmas and Hanukkah and all of the winter solstice and all of the winter holidays are coming up, and these are also food holidays, and the holiday parties are coming up. And so, you know, whether you're at work or whether it's, you know, your neighborhood social committee or whether it's just the family or whatever, they're going to be food-centered events, food-centered extravaganzas. And so people who have issues around food and their weight and their bodies and food and exercise and all that stuff, it can be a challenging time. And so in an effort to have support or, you know, use whatever skills and tools they may happen to have to help them cope and navigate with these situations, you know, this stuff's getting passed all around social media. So the first thing that I saw was a big meme that said, "Diet culture is full of shit." And when I see something like that, my first thought is, "My dear, thou protest too much," or whatever that Shakespearean quote is. You know, like, you're protesting a little too much when it's coming across with that. And you're not actually seeing this meme either. It's like big, bold font. It's, you know, this big statement that's saying diet culture is full of shit. And so it, to me, that is such an aggressive type of meme that it reveals to me that person is not healed. Because if you are healed, you don't care. It's not that you don't care. It's that you have no interest in going to war with anything. And then the other one that caught my eye that I'm just like, okay, they're trying to get there, but they're not really quite there. There are a lot of memes around this time of year, and not just on social media. I mean, they have these charts. If you Google them, they've had these charts in magazines for years, even before there were social media. But it was this idea of, you know, Thanksgiving turkey has this many calories, and the stuffing has this many calories, and, you know, the apple pie or the pumpkin pie or whichever kind of pie you like has this many calories. And so how much exercise or what kinds of activities do you need to do to burn off your Thanksgiving meal? And, you know, that's also kind of the idea behind things like the turkey trot. Granted, some people are just in them for the fun of having a fun run and having a fun run on a holiday. But, you know, there's a lot of speak around that. It's like, oh yeah, go run a turkey trot in the morning and then you can go eat your Thanksgiving meal and not have to worry about the food or the calories or anything like that. So this particular meme that I'm referring to had the same kind of idea, except that it was a twist on that. It was like, how many ounces of turkey, this is how many calories, and what kind of exercise do you need to burn it off? And it's like, nope, exercise is not a punishment. Nope, you can find joy and purpose with food. There, food isn't a punishable offense in this great big list. And while that is true, and while this meme on the surface level seems like it says the same kinds of things that I say, it doesn't, because it doesn't go that deeply. It does not say, hey, there's no relationship between diet and exercise. Food is food and exercise is exercise. Hey, your body is not a caloric balance sheet. And no one ever really gets that clear and says, hello, your body is not a caloric balance sheet. And if diets did work in the way that the diet and exercise model suggests that they do, this idea that your body is essentially a caloric balance sheet that you can control the size and shape of your body by controlling what you eat and what you do for exercise. And that no one really questions that model. I mean, they do on a surface level, because what they'll do is there's this idea that, hey, well, we all know calories are so passe, calories are so, you know, last century, you know, it's not just a caloric balance sheet. I mean, we're evolved. We know more than that. You just got to eat the right kind of food. You know, not everybody's the same. Everybody's different. So not everybody's going to have the same kind of diet. You just need to find the right diet for you. So it'll be like, eat right for your blood type, or eat all organic, or eat vegan, or, you know, eat keto or paleo or you know, whatever it is, intermittent fast, and that'll get rid of your fat. So it's not that when I'm talking about the diet and exercise, I'm not just only talking about the very simplistic notion that your body's a caloric balance sheet. I'm talking about the mindset that you don't even recognize that you're actually thinking from, based on all of the assumptions that would come out of that model. So how people try to nitpick the food, or else they're going to try to nitpick the exercise to try to figure out what that magic combination is so that you can get the body that you want. Or they'll try to, you know, nitpick your psychology and try to figure out, why are you trying to self-sabotage, or why do you not feel good about yourself, or any of these other things, so that then you can be okay on a diet and exercise program. And so when I see things like this on social media, the body image positivity movements and the get rid of diet culture movements and the eating disorder recovery movements and all of those things, you know, they have good intentions, but they're not really addressing the core issue and showing people how, you know, this really doesn't work. And so then what's happening is there's a lot of noise that doesn't really heal any pain. And whenever I bring this kind of stuff up, I always say, okay, this is not a political podcast. My wheelhouse is body image, weight loss, self-esteem, all that stuff. That's my area of expertise. That's what I am going to speak from. And because these issues are so deeply painful and personal, that people, when I'm trying to talk about deeper concepts or energy dynamics or dynamics between complex systems, what happens is, because it's such a deeply personal, painful topic, if I'm talking about body image and self-esteem and you're caught in that, sometimes it's such a triggering thing, or you're in such a space that you can't see the forest for the trees. So then I'll bring in a different topic, like I'll bring in a computer algorithm, or I'll bring in, you know, whatever. And so right now, because it is a moment, I'm using this as an example, but I am not making a specific comment about these topics. So for instance, something like climate change, global warming, COVID, the vaccine, you know, kind of thing. So if I'm making the analogy of, you know, there people have a lot of pain, shame, and drama around their body and their weight, and then you're going to see all this crap all over social media. I said another four-letter word right there for you. You're going to see all this stuff all over social media that is like, diet culture is full of shit, and don't be afraid of getting fat, or banish the patriarchy for having, you know, unrealistic standards of beauty, or you know, whatever it is. And they're saying no. They're not addressing the legitimate concern that many women have around being able to trust their body, because the whole culture is based on the diet and exercise model, which teaches us that we can't trust our body. So that's the same kind of dynamic as someone coming along and saying something like, global change is, you know, oh my gosh, we're destroying the planet, and we have to do all this stuff. And then if you don't give people a way to actually have a practical, tangible way to modify how they engage with the world, it doesn't really do anything. And then if you're on the flip side of the argument and you say, oh, this global warming thing, it has nothing at all to do with people. The world is just warming because, you know, it's just trends. This has been happening for eons. You know, we have ice ages and melting ages, and we're just in the cycle of that. Well, you can say that, but that doesn't do anything for the people that are legitimately concerned about it. It doesn't soothe the pain. The same thing like with COVID or whatever. It's like, oh my goodness, there's this big virus out there. And if you don't have a practical way to actually make it so that people are safe, what's happening is what's happening now. We're getting into these two camps where people are like, oh my gosh, you know, now it's the new variant. And we have to be afraid of the people that are unvaccinated. And then the unvaccinated people are looking at this saying, COVID is just, you know, the vaccines aren't going to help you. But that doesn't, you're going to have breakout cases. The vaccines are ineffective, but that's not going to help the people that are on the other side of the fence. That's not soothing any pain. So it's the same kind of dynamics that's happening with the body image and the body positivity stuff, is that people are in pain, but then what's happening is they're just throwing around these sound bites, and they're throwing around these memes and stuff to try to help themselves feel better, I guess. But what it makes, when I saw that, the response in me was, oh Lordy, you know, and I did get angry. I mean, it's been a couple of days, and I've been musing on this topic for a couple of days, and like letting my blood come back down from a boil, because, you know, I'm Italian. and I just get into this thing where it's like, baby, it's time to put on your big girl pants. You know, especially when I see a lot of memes out there and a lot of stuff on social media that is coming from victimhood. So this idea about body image and body positivity, and that it's like, oh, it's Madison Avenue is making us feel bad. The marketing is making us feel bad, or the Photoshop is making us feel bad, or the patriarchy is making us feel bad, or whatever it is. And I'm just like, no, girlfriend, only you can make yourself feel bad. This is a fundamental psychological personal growth truth. No one can make you feel anything without your permission. And so I was in a tizzy, and I was going to call this episode, you know, when to put on your big girl pants. And I might still call it that. I don't know. But it's a really interesting thing to watch unfold online and in the conversations that happen at the Pilates studio and in the conversations that happen with friends and family around the food and the holidays and all of this stuff. And whether the conversation is about food and about weight, or whether the conversations end up about, you know, the current cultural climate, some political topic, you know, whatever it is, the thing that I always come back to is this idea of victimhood versus empowerment. And I have absolutely no patience for victimhood. And I don't mean to sound like a really mean, nasty person when I say that, because believe me, I do understand the pain. And for those of you who don't know who I am, this is, you know, like the very first time you've ever heard of me or heard me speak. I am a survivor of the eating disorder from hell. So when I was 15, I made the varsity cheerleading squad. And we had our little fitting, and I saw how short those skirts were going to be. And so I wanted to look cute. And, you know, I was just a girl, just a teenager wanting to look cute. Now, granted, in my family of origin and in my extended family, I had certain dynamics going on that was cultivating the ground, preparing the soil so that I am a personality type that would have had an eating disorder. Not all girls that decide that they want to be cheerleaders end up with eating disorders, right? And I don't know how or when it happened. You know, it was just, I decided I was going to go on a little no junk food diet so that I could look cute in that skirt. And then also I was one of the taller girls on the squad. And for some reason I wanted to be the apex of the pyramid. It was never going to happen because one of the other girls was barely 4 foot if she was that. And of course she's always going to be up at the top. But anyway, through this process, however it ended up happening, I ended up anorexic and 80 pounds. And I spent almost my entire senior year of high school in the hospital. And I don't, you know, it's a really interesting thing. So if you're someone who has had an experience with someone, a shared traumatic experience. So like if you are in a war with somebody, you know, like you're in their platoon, or if you were in a bus crash with somebody, or if you were, you know, if you were in a fire or something like that with people, you have this shared experience that only you and those people who shared that experience with you will ever really truly understand. And that's kind of how some of those support groups get formed and those lifelong friendships get formed and everything. When it comes to an eating disorder, the thing is the dynamics might be shared, but it's a very, very intensely personal hell that you go through. And the things like the amount of psychological torment and hell that you have to put yourself through to be able to consciously, willfully, deliberately withhold food from yourself, to consciously, willfully, deliberately override every instinct, every cry your body is making for survival is insane. And so I had just come off of that experience. And actually, like when I got out of the hospital my senior year, I was released against medical advice. I fought my way out because I wasn't going to graduate. I was missing too much school. I wasn't going to graduate. I wasn't going to be able to go to college. And so we had this whole drama thing that is a different story that I'll tell you later. But the point being is that right from this really intense experience that I'm having with myself, and then, you know, being gaslit by the doctors because they didn't really know what they were doing. And, you know, I've got a healthy disrespect for eating disorder treatment centers and things like that. But anyway, coming out of that, I was a freshman in college and I was taking philosophy 101. And the very first thing I read was Viktor Frankl's Man's Search for Meaning. And that book resonated with me on a really deep level because of that hell that I had willfully put myself through. Viktor Frankl, I'm not in any way making a comparison that my personal hell was, oh my God, it was as horrible as a Nazi concentration camp. But Viktor Frankl was a survivor of the Holocaust. He was in 3 different concentration camps, and he wrote Man's Search for Meaning, and he outlined some of his experiences in that book that resonated deeply with me. So even though our situations were different, the energetic dynamics of the personal hell were similar enough that it rang very true to me. And he was able to articulate certain things in his book that I had sort of instinctually come to figure out how to do just to survive myself. And so I look at him as the flesh and blood epitome example of, girlfriend, put your big pants on. There's absolutely no room for whining and being a victim, because you take someone like Viktor Frankl and the stuff he had to endure in the Nazi concentration camps, and then you look at that and you see how he was able to, through deep personal and spiritual depth, he was able to survive that. That in my mind is one of the most shared examples of the most horrifying things that people can do to one another. Now, granted, there have been other horrible mass genocides, like in Rwanda and, you know, other places in the world, but everybody's always talking about the Nazis and everybody's always talking about the Holocaust. And especially right now, again, in this current moment, and I'm not speaking to a political side. I'm speaking about the dynamics going on in the country right now. It's like you've got this big division where the left says the right are the Nazis because the people on the right seem to be happy that we're Americans and proud to be Americans. And then we also have on the right some people that, you know, like to shave their heads and wear fly swastika flags. So obviously those people on the right are the Nazis and we must stay away from them and not do anything that they do. But then on the left, you've got the people that are also enforcing policies that are mandating masks or mandating vaccines or things like that, that the people on the right are saying, hey, this is totalitarian behavior. This is what the Nazis are. And so I find it really fascinating that people will people use the Holocaust and they use the Nazis as this supreme example of ultimate evil. And the thing is that this, if you can survive this, as illustrated by Viktor Frankl, you have the personal power to withstand anything. You can become empowered yourself to withstand, oh, the patriarchy, oh, the white supremacy, oh, the, you know, the body image, oh, whatever that soundbite is that's running around in social media that people are rallying around and crying around, to my view, end up being like these war cries of victimhood. And that does not serve you. That will never serve you. That will always keep you disempowered, and that will always keep you limited. And Viktor Frankl is the what I would call like the human 3D, you know, example of this. But this is the same kind of psychological, spiritual truth that is represented in the story of the crucifixion and the resurrection. That, like, Viktor Frankl can withstand the Nazi concentration camps. Jesus can die on the cross and is not limited by the view of the world. And again, this isn't a preachy religious thing. This is a psychological, spiritual thing to show you a story written in a very popular book that most people have heard of. And then this is the story that shows you how you have the personal empowerment, you have that state of consciousness, you have that grace within you, that if you cultivate that, and if you cling to that, and you work for that, you can transcend, according to the story of the crucifixion and the resurrection, even death. Now, I'm not wanting anyone to be in that situation, obviously, but it seems to me that, you know, with all of the victimhood and the dichotomy that's going around in the culture right now, it reminds me a lot of what Marianne Williamson used to say when she used to lecture on A Course in Miracles. And Now she's doing different things. She does a lot of events, and you know, she ran for president and everything. But before all of that, like 20 years ago, when I was going through my dark night of the soul, and I used to mainline her tapes because it was much more entertaining to listen to Marianne Williamson speak about The Course in Miracles than it was to actually read the stupid book. It's a great book. It's not a stupid book. I'm not a fan of reading. I read for information. I read for content. I don't read for pleasure. And it was much more fun to listen to Marianne teach me these principles. And she used to always say, are you coming from a place of love or a place of fear? According to A Course in Miracles, there are only two states, love and fear. Are you coming from a place of love? Are you coming from a place of fear? And in my estimation, what's happening is that the people who are being the loudest on social media, and my wheelhouse is body image, self-esteem, weight, diet, exercise, eating disorders, that whole wheelhouse, whether it's that or it's some of the other social political stuff that's going on in the world right now, I'm seeing what's happening is the people that are being the loudest seem to be coming out of a place of fear, out of a place of reaction, and from that place are not either within themselves or within the greater community able to offer up healing and transformation. And that was one of the reasons I started this podcast, was because in the body image movement, in the personal development space, I'm like, where do I fit? I'm not fitness. I'm not weight loss. I'm more personal development and spirituality and personal transformation. But it's not just, you know, like, oh, be happy and say your mantras and your affirmations or whatever. No, this is practical, tangible stuff. Like I'm talking specifically about weight and body image. So there wasn't really a space for me, which is why I created this podcast. But I see the same kind of stuff happening regardless of the industry. And so whenever you see anything, you know, I'm never going to tell you what to think. I'm just going to ask that you do think. So whenever you see anything, use your brain, whatever it is, and ask yourself, is this true? What is the source? Is this true? Does this make logical sense? Does this make rational sense? Are there other questions that I can ask that would call into question these conclusions? And if you've dealt with your body drama long enough, you kind of instinctively already know that, right? What happens is you see some headline on, you know, some article, whether it's a blog post or a social media thing or whatever, about intermittent fasting or about keto or about paleo or this high intensity interval training or, you know, what is it? It's maximum flexibility or hyperbolic stretching or, you know, whatever the thing is. And those headlines are going to hit trigger buttons to get you into a state, because they want you to read the article, or they want you to buy a product, or they want you to align with their particular position that they are promoting. And so for you to stay in power so that you don't get sucked into that stuff, you need to take a deep breath and let it out. Drop into your body, connect with your heart and your mind, get congruent with yourself, and engage your spidey senses. I mean, it's really a landmine out there, you know? And so I guess the sense of all of this stuff that I'm trying to say is that it seems to me at the end of the day, if you're talking about, you know, love versus fear, you know, or whatever is going on when people are fighting against, they're fighting against what's going on in the world. And it comes from this place of fear rather than, you know, yes. So A Course in Miracles is this great spiritual book, and yay, there's, you know, two states, love or fear. Yeah, that I would argue that that's true. oftentimes from a practical, tangible perspective, it's like, well, yeah, what do I do about this? So, okay, so I'm coming from a place of fear. But then what do I do to feel better? Right. And so as I was musing on all of this, trying to sort out my thoughts, you know, because I really did get really upset when I was seeing some of those posts about the diet culture thing, because it's just it's not solving any problems. And the way if you actually saw the aggressive nature of some of these memes, that clearly the people posting them and sharing them and creating them or whatever are still fighting their own demons. And so as I was musing about some of these dichotomies, what came to me was this idea of empowerment versus control. Because if you have any experience at all with anorexia, you know that they're always going to say, oh, it's not about the food, it's about control. And there are a lot of us out there that are, you know, a little bit of a control freak. Now, there's a distinction between, you know, somebody who is a controlling personality versus someone who wants control over their environment, or and I think it the empowerment versus control thing lines up very much with the love versus the fear thing. It's like what happens is that people need to control situations. They need to control their food. They need to control other people. They need to control the outcome because they don't feel empowered. They don't feel safe. And the thing is that with personal empowerment, it doesn't really matter what else is going on in the world. It doesn't really matter what else is going on social media. It doesn't really matter what else is going on in your family. And in the extreme example of Viktor Frankl and the Holocaust, it doesn't matter if you're in a concentration camp. And what the biblical story is going to tell you is it doesn't matter if you're crucified. When you have your personal power, you are safe. And I feel like people rush to this control because they don't feel safe. Now, granted, there are going to be controlling people and controlling personalities because they want power over people. There seems to be this split between the people who want to control other people and the other people that just want to be left alone and let everybody live their own lives. And I'm sure there are psychologists and sociologists out there that will give some kind of clinical diagnosis to a controlling personality, borderline personality disorder, narcissism, whatever, in the attempt that they're trying to control and manipulate other people for power. And yes, that does exist. And I would still argue that if you're going to break it down into very simple steps, as that there are only two states, love and fear, like A Course in Miracles would say, is that the person who is a controlling person is a fearful person, because they fear that they won't be okay. And at the end of the day, isn't that what we all want? We all want to be okay. We all want to be safe. We all want to be loved. We all want to be heard. It's such a deep, need and fear that we won't be okay. And that's, you know, that's why it's so hard in the body image and the weight loss and all of that, that in my wheelhouse, that's why it's so hard to let go of that diet and exercise model, because we fear that if we don't have that, somehow we're not going to be okay. We fear that if we don't do the right diet, or if we don't get the body that we want, or the way that society tells us that we need to be, we're not going to be okay. We're not going to be loved. And even if we intellectually understand that that's false, even if we have done enough personal development, we've had enough therapy, we've done enough of whatever to understand that that's a fallacy, that's a deep, deep need that we all just want to feel safe. We all just want to be okay. And the truth of the matter is that the only way to be safe is to have your personal empowerment, because only you can make sure that you're truly safe. Just like Viktor Frankl in the Nazi concentration camp, the only way to really do that is through cultivating your own inner strength, your own inner perspective, so that it really doesn't matter if the world's going to hell in a handbasket around you, that you stay centered and you stay grounded, whether that is coming from that weight loss, diet, exercise, drama landscape, whether it's coming from any of the other social, political things that are going on in the world. It's all the same dynamics. It's where are you having your power? Are you going to play the victim, or are you going to claim your personal power? Because you can't do both. And so it is my hope and my prayer for you that regardless of the situation that you find yourself in, that you can take a deep breath and let it out, that you can take a beat, take a breath, drop into your body. And just right there, that gave you half a second, 5 seconds, whatever it was, to shift the dynamic just a little bit. It gave you a little bit of space. It gave you a little bit of grace, so that in that next moment of whatever you're dealing with, whether it is you had a weak moment and you stepped on the scale, or if it is something that you saw on social media, or if it's an argument that you're having with a loved one, or whether it's some new policy that's happening at work because of the pandemic, or whatever it is, that you can find your center and you can find your grace and you can come into your strength and into your own personal power. And from there, be mindful and empowered to take the next step, whatever that is, in the next moment of time and space, that it will lead you to your highest and your best good. So that was my little rant for the day. I will get off my soapbox now. And I heard that mic pop because I got all dramatic there for a second there. So anyway, I do get it. I do understand. I do understand the pain, and I do understand the despair, and I do understand the fear. And I think that's why I go full Carmela on you sometimes. So it comes from a place of love. I hope that you have a super, super happy day. And I will talk to you next time. Take care. Bye.
If you enjoyed this program, help it out. Give it a like, subscribe, follow, share. You know the drill. If you want to learn more about me, my books, programs, and services, visit my website, CarmelaRamalia.com. And don't worry, if you can't spell my name, you can also always find me at happycalories.com. Take care.